Državni izpitni center. Splošna matura 2016. Preverjanje slušnega razumevanja.
Lepo pozdravljeni. Pričenja se reševanje maturitetne izpitne pole slušnega razumevanja angleščine.
Izpitna pola je sestavljena iz dveh delov, dela A in dela B. Vsak del vsebuje govorjeno izhodiščno besedilo in nalogo, ki se nanj nanaša. Najprej boste nalogo prebrali in jo nato med poslušanjem besedila sproti reševali. Vsako besedilo boste poslušali po dvakrat. Začetek in konec besedila bo označeval takle zvočni znak.
Rešitve, ki jih pišite z nalivnim peresom ali s kemičnim svinčnikom, vpisujte v izpitno polo v zato predvideni prostor. Pišite čitljivo in skladno s pravopisnimi pravili. Če se zmotite, napisano prečrtajte in rešitev zapišite na novo. Nečitljivi zapisi in nejasni popravki bodo ocenjeni z nič točkami.
Zaupajte vase in v svoje zmožnosti. Želimo vam veliko uspeha.
Poslušajte pozorno. Odprite izpitno polo.
Section A. You will hear an interview with Nicola Benedetti, the violinist. You will hear the recording twice. Now read the task.
Now, 10 years ago, a 16-year-old Scottish violinist called Nicola Benedetti won the BBC's prestigious Young Musician of the Year competition. Since then, her career has gone from strength to strength, and she's acclaimed as one of the world's leading violinists, appearing with major orchestras and in solo concerts. She recently performed at the spectacular opening ceremony for the Commonwealth Games in Scotland. Nicola's latest recording, Homecoming, a Scottish Fantasy, goes back to her roots, mixing both classical and traditional Scottish folk music. When Nicola joined me in the Outlook studio, she told me who inspired her to pick up her first violin when she was just 4 years old.
My sister, it's all her fault entirely. She's 4 years older than me, and she saw a picture of a violin actually when she was around four, so I was just born at that point. Fell in love with the shape and the beauty, the visual beauty of the instrument. She just asked persistently, and eventually my mum gave in when I was 4 years old and my sister was eight, and we both began playing together, and I at that point and for many years later would just want to do whatever my older sister did. So I was just happy to copy, really.
And did you take to it naturally, or was it really hard work from the off?
Well, I'm left-handed, so I picked up the violin the wrong way round. Every time she handed me the violin during my first lesson, and I think my second lesson also, I kept, just my instinct was to swap things over and to put my violin in my right hand. And the fact that I kept doing that wrong, I found traumatising, so I was in tears throughout most of the first few lessons. But then once I got over that initial hurdle, I think my progression was really quite fast. By the time I was 8 or 9, I passed my grade 8 exam. So I guess,
which is the highest level of music exams in this country, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, yeah.
Obviously, you can go on to do degrees.
Yes.
And things like that,
but I mean, it doesn't mean you've made it as a violinist.
But nonetheless, that's a pretty early age to be doing it.
I think
students would be in their teens or something like that, wouldn't they?
I think yes, it's quite young to be doing that. And shortly after, I auditioned for the Yehudi Menuhin School, which was a suggestion of my violin teacher. An amazing thing for a violin teacher to recognise the potential of a student and suggest that they go on to study with someone else. So I will forever be grateful to her for that suggestion.
It must have been incredibly hard work, though. I mean, there must have been hours and hours of practice. Did you enjoy that, or was that a chore?
I couldn't say with my hand on my heart that I enjoyed every minute of those hours of practice. I mean, we started off just 5 minutes a day that grew into 10, 15, then half an hour a day. I think my mum was always incredibly pragmatic and straightforward and unfluffy in her way of thinking and her approach to bringing up children. And I think her feeling was no matter what it was we showed promise in, we had to apply some seriousness and repetition and dedication to that thing. And that happened to be violin playing. So even throughout the entire holiday periods, we would never have 24 hours without playing. We would always play for a couple of hours, maybe three, sometimes four in the mornings. And then we would have the afternoon and evening off, and it was just a daily part of a routine that, to be honest, I look at my, well, I look at my life now and I definitely do appreciate that she helped us persevere with that, but I also look at my childhood and think how much sweeter those hours of play were after having focused on something.
Well, it's
now you will hear the recording again.
Now, 10 years ago, a 16-year-old Scottish violinist called Nicola Benedetti won the BBC's prestigious Young Musician of the Year competition. Since then, her career has gone from strength to strength, and she's acclaimed as one of the world's leading violinists, appearing with major orchestras and in solo concerts. She recently performed at the spectacular opening ceremony for the Commonwealth Games in Scotland. Nicola's latest recording, Homecoming, a Scottish Fantasy, goes back to her roots, mixing both classical and traditional Scottish folk music. When Nicola joined me in the Outlook studio, she told me who inspired her to pick up her first violin when she was just 4 years old.
My sister, it's all her fault entirely. She's 4 years older than me, and she saw a picture of a violin actually when she was around four, so I was just born at that point. Fell in love with the shape and the beauty, the visual beauty of the instrument. She just asked persistently, and eventually my mum gave in when I was 4 years old and my sister was eight, and we both began playing together, and I at that point and for many years later would just want to do whatever my older sister did. So I was just happy to copy, really.
And did you take to it naturally, or was it really hard work from the off?
Well, I'm left-handed, so I picked up the violin the wrong way round. Every time she handed me the violin during my first lesson, and I think my second lesson also, I kept, just my instinct was to swap things over and to put my violin in my right hand. And the fact that I kept doing that wrong, I found traumatising, so I was in tears throughout most of the first few lessons. But then once I got over that initial hurdle, I think my progression was really quite fast. By the time I was 8 or 9, I passed my grade 8 exam. So I guess...
Which is the highest level of music exams in this country, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, yeah.
I mean, obviously you can go on to do degrees,
yes,
and things like that.
But I mean, it doesn't mean you've made it as a violinist.
But nonetheless, that's a pretty early age to be doing it.
I think
students would be in their teens or something like that, wouldn't they?
It's quite young to be doing that. And shortly after, I auditioned for the Yehudi Menuhin School, which was a suggestion of my violin teacher. An amazing thing for a violin teacher to recognise the potential of a student and suggest that they go on to study with someone else. So I will forever be grateful to her for that suggestion.
It must have been incredibly hard work, though. I mean, there must have been hours and hours of practice. Did you enjoy that, or was that a chore?
I couldn't say with my hand on my heart that I enjoyed every minute of those hours of practice. I mean, we started off just 5 minutes a day that grew into 10, 15, then half an hour a day. I think my mum was always incredibly pragmatic and straightforward and unfluffy in her way of thinking and her approach to bringing up children. And I think her feeling was no matter what it was we showed promise in, we had to apply some seriousness and repetition and dedication to that thing. And that happened to be violin playing. So even throughout the entire holiday periods, we would never have 24 hours without playing. We would always play for a couple of hours, maybe three, sometimes four in the mornings. And then we would have the afternoon and evening off, and it was just a daily part of a routine that, to be honest, I look at my life now and I definitely do appreciate that she helped us persevere with that, but I also look at my childhood and think how much sweeter those hours of play were after having focused on something.
Well, it's-
This is the end of Section A. Section B. You will hear an interview with Janice Winehouse, Amy Winehouse's mother. You will hear the recording twice. Now read the task.
Now, this coming Sunday, the singer-songwriter Amy Winehouse would have celebrated her 31st birthday. But 3 years ago, she died. She'd had a serious problem with drugs and alcohol and a disastrous marriage to a fellow addict, Blake Fielder Civil. She'd been trying to give up her addictions, but on the night of July 23rd, 2011, an excess of alcohol killed her. Her parents, Mitch and Janice Winehouse, had separated when she was nine, so her mother had been a lone parent as Amy entered her adolescence. She's written a book called Loving Amy, A Mother's Story. So what kind of little girl was Amy?
She was mischievous, and she'd get up to things if she could. She was a child that if I said, don't do that, she did it. She was forthright.
I think you called her Hurricane.
Yes.
Amy. Yes. How difficult, actually, was she?
It was in so much as I did not have the authority within to say don't, because she knew she could get away with it. I was a very sweet mum, so she just got on with it.
And when you look back now, do you wish you hadn't been quite so sweet?
My feeling is I can only have been as I was. I cannot be any other way.
She was nine when you and her father, Mitch, separated.
Yes.
What impact did that have on her?
She always kept everything in place. Everything's okay. I didn't know, is the truth. So, very silent.
So she never talked about it?
No. No, because she didn't want to upset me.
And how difficult had life been with him before the separation?
Can we not discuss it? It was so long ago, I really would prefer not to.
She did seem to adore her father.
Yes,
I mean, she had tattoos of Daddy's girl.
Yes.
And also of her grandmother, Cynthia.
Yes.
What role did they continue to play in her life?
Her nan was there whenever, and Amy would always, if Cynthia said, don't do that, she'd be, okay. She respected Cynthia and probably feared her.
And her father?
That was the problem. He wasn't there as much.
So did she just long to be Daddy's girl?
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm sure she did.
So how difficult was it for you as a lone parent?
As an individual, I got on with it, which I realised was where Amy got that element from as well. Because that was me. I dealt with it.
Well, you more than dealt with it. You did 2 degrees.
Yes.
One in science.
Yes.
And another in pharmacy.
Yes.
How did you manage that during this period?
I don't know, because I did. That's me. I loved it and I loved studying.
Now, you did have a second relationship when Amy was 14. How did she cope with that?
She wasn't comfortable with it. She more or less took herself aside.
Why?
Well, because that was Amy. Amy did what Amy wanted to do. She just wasn't at home that much. Also, she had moved out and moved into a flat with a friend of hers. She was probably about 16. I had to let her go.
Why did you have to let her go?
Oh, because she would have gone anyway. Amy was a very, very defiant little girl. The classic, if I said don't, she did.
Now you will hear the recording again.
Now, this coming Sunday, the singer-songwriter Amy Winehouse would have celebrated her 31st birthday. But 3 years ago, she died. She'd had a serious problem with drugs and alcohol and a disastrous marriage to a fellow addict, Blake Fielder Civil. She'd been trying to give up her addictions, but on the night of July 23rd, 2011, an excess of alcohol killed her. Her parents, Mitch and Janice Winehouse, had separated when she was nine, so her mother had been a lone parent as Amy entered her adolescence. She's written a book called Loving Amy, A Mother's Story. So what kind of little girl was Amy?
She was mischievous, and she'd get up to things if she could. She was a child that if I said, don't do that, she did it. She was forthright.
I think you called her Hurricane.
Yes.
Amy.
Yes.
How difficult, actually, was she?
It was in so much as I did not have the authority within to say, don't, because she knew she could get away with it. I was a very sweet mum, so she just got on with it.
And when you look back now, do you wish you hadn't been quite so sweet?
My feeling is I can only have been as I was. I cannot be any other way.
She was nine when you and her father, Mitch, separated.
Yes.
What impact did that have on her?
She always kept everything in place. Everything's okay. I didn't know, is the truth. So, very silent.
So she never talked about it?
No. No, because she didn't want to upset me.
And how difficult had life been with him before the separation?
Can we not discuss it? It was so long ago, I really would prefer not to.
She did seem to adore her father.
Yes,
I mean, she had tattoos of Daddy's girl.
Yes.
And also of her grandmother, Cynthia.
Yes.
What role did they continue to play in her life?
Her nan was there whenever, and Amy would always, if Cynthia said, don't do that, she'd be, okay, okay. She respected Cynthia and probably feared her.
And her father?
That was the problem. He wasn't there as much.
So did she just long to be Daddy's girl?
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm sure she did.
So how difficult was it for you as a lone parent?
As an individual, I got on with it, which I realised was where Amy got that element from as well. Because that was me. I dealt with it.
Well, you more than dealt with it. You did 2 degrees.
Yes.
One in science.
Yes.
And another in pharmacy.
Yes.
How did you manage that during this period?
I don't know, because I did. That's me. I loved it and I loved studying.
Now, you did have a second relationship when Amy was 14. How did she cope with that?
She wasn't comfortable with it. She more or less took herself aside.
Why?
Well, because that was Amy. Amy did what Amy wanted to do. She just wasn't at home that much. Also, she had moved out and moved into a flat with a friend of hers. She was probably about 16. I had to let her go.
Why did you have to let her go?
Oh, because she would have gone anyway. Amy was a very, very defiant little girl. The classic, if I said don't, she did.
This is the end of section B.
Končuje se slušno preverjanje angleščine. Nehajte pisati, zaprite izpitno polo in jo skupaj z ocenjevalnim obrazcem položite na rob mize.
Nasvidenje in srečno.